Sinai Vaymer. The Rebbeinu spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai saying, the famous question that the Medrash asks, Ma'in Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai? Why Dafke was Har Sinai mentioned by Shemitah? And various answers are given. Rashi brings down the Chazal, and there's many different Sfarim that say a Pshat. I'd like to say a Pshat that I saw. There's another thing that we see that Shemitah and Har Sinai have in common. By Shemitah, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav, Giboyrei Koyach Oysa Devorei, L'shmaya B'kol Devorei. Ben Shashem is Malachim, those of strength, that are Makayim the words of Hashem, to listen to His voice. The Medrash says on that Pasuk in Tehillim, the Alkut says that that's going on the people that keep Shemitah. Elu Shemir Shvius. They're considered like Malachim Oisei Devorei. It's interesting that by Maimon Har Sinai, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches says that when the Bnei Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, a voice came out in Hashemayim and said, Migilo Levonai Roze Shemalachi Hashoros Mishnam Shemboi. Who revealed to my children the secret that the Malachi Hashoros use? So you see that there's some common denominator here, that by Har Sinai they were compared to the Malachim, and by the Mitzvah Shemitah they're compared to the Malachim. So you see there's some commonality there between Shemitah and Har Sinai. But what is it about the Malachim that brings together Maim and Har Sinai, Kabbalah Zatayra, with the Inyan of Shemitah? I like to say over here a Yisoid that I saw last year from the Shem Yishmuel says a Gevaldig Gibshat. How were the Yidden able to say Nasa before Mishma? It's a Gevaldig Gezach, but logically speaking, how can you be Mekabel on yourself something before you know whether you're capable of doing it? And the Gemara Taka says in Masechta Shabbos that the Tzeduki asked Rava this question. The Tzeduki said to Rava, I'm a Paziza, you're a petulant nation, you acted too quickly. The Kadmisu Pumaychulu Naichli, your mouth was shot off before you even heard what to be Mekabel. So what is the logic behind what the Bnei Yisrael did? They said Nasa before Nishma. How can you accept upon yourself to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kulo? You don't even know what the Torah entails. So the Shem Yishmuel says a Moedik thing, that the Bnei Yisrael realized what the site of the Malachim is. What makes the Malachim possible to do anything they're asked of? Because they realized that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without Hashem we have no kayak. And if Hashem tells us to do something, the very tzivui of Hashem infuses us with the kayak, with the ability to do it. That's what the word malach means. Malach means a shliach. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us on a mission, that dibur, that tzivui alone gives us the kayak to do the impossible. The impossible becomes possible. Because if Hashem sent us to do it, obviously He's giving us the kayak to do it. The Bnei Yisrael came to that hakorah, that if the malachim do it, they only do it because they're infused with the kayach to do the impossible, because they're shluchim of Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen is for us to be makabel the Torah, He's memela going to give us the kayach to be makayimit, and nothing is beyond us, nothing is impossible. The impossible becomes possible. That's why the Baskol came out and said, Mi gilo levonai rozeh, shemalachi hasharis mishnam shenboi. The secret of the malachi hasharis is that they realize Hashem made us a shliach for this, memela He gives us the kayach, and the Bnei Yisrael realize that this is the secret of malachim. By Shemitah, the Bnei Yisrael are asked to keep the impossible. Sit back for a year, let the field go empty, don't work on it, don't be chayrish, don't be kaitzer, don't do anything, and expect to have parnasa. Sounds impossible. But there too, the Bnei Yisrael, they utilize the kayach of the malachim. Doesn't make sense. Logically speaking, if we don't work, how in the world are we going to eat? But that's the kayach of the malachim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it, obviously, He's also giving us the kayach to do it, and it's not beyond us to do the impossible. The impossible becomes possible. That is the inyan of Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. That's the connection between the two. By Har Sinai, they use the kayach of the malachim. By Shemitah, they use the kayach of the malachim. By Har Sinai, they realize that the impossible is made possible by HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us to do it. And that's what they did by Shemitah. And Shemitah is Mechiach and Kol HaTorah Kulo. That if Hashem asks us to do it, the impossible becomes possible. That's the inyan of Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Pasuk says, the Kidashtem Eshnasach Hamishim Shana, Ukrosem dror ba'oretz l'chol yeshveh. You should sanctify the 50th year. You should proclaim freedom in the land to all of its inhabitants. Yovel hiti elochem. It will be yovel. V'shaftim ishal chuzasai. And each man will return to his inheritance. V'ishal mishpachtei toshuvu. This is the mitzvah shiluach avodim, that every goes back, if he was a nirtza, he goes back to his family. And also the halach is that if somebody sells a piece of karka, it goes back to the original owner by Yovel. Now, the Indian of freeing avodim, it took place on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. They blew shofar on the Yom Kippur of Yovel, and sending back the avodim took place on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. So, Hagoyin Rav Yitzchok Bernstein Zatzal, he asked the question, would it not be more appropriate to send back the Avodim on Pesach? Pesach is Manche Ruseinu. It's the time that we were freed from being Avodim. So it would make sense that the freedom of Avodim should take place on Pesach. So why Dafki did it take place on the Yom Kippur of Yovel? They blew Shofar and across him Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh. Why did it Dafki take place on Yom Kippur? So he answers, it's a Dover Yedua, the Ibn Ezra and others, they say that who is the freest person in the world? The freest person in the world is someone that is not given to his Yetzirah, someone that is not governed by his Taibas. Because someone that's governed by Taibas, he's Meshuvah. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that the Yetzirah, Paroi in Mitzrayim, is a marshal for the Yetzirah. And the same way Paroi ruled over the Yidden, that Yetzirah rules over us throughout our lifetime. And the freest person in the world is the one that does not give in to his taibas. He doesn't let the taibas rule over him. Rav Elia Lapian, he used to give a famous marshal. What is a person that gives in to his taibas, what is he daimed to? He's daimed to a person that's thirsty, and the only water available is herring water. You know, it's salty mamish, and he drinks it down, and he becomes more thirsty. And he drinks that down, and he becomes more thirsty, and his thirst is never quenched. And that's someone that gives into his Yetzirah. He thinks, oh, I'll give into my Yetzirah and then I'll be satisfied. But then the Yetzirah wants more and more and more and more, and he becomes more Meshubah to the Yetzirah. So the freest person in the world is one that's Lamaila from his Yetzirah. He doesn't give into his Yetzirah. Dr. Yitzchok Bernstein, when is a person the freest from his Yetzirah? That's on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of Inui. Yom Kippur is a day where he's mufke from eating, from different tanugim of the world. Yom Kippur, he's on the madrega of malachim. Yom Kippur, he does tshuva, and he becomes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are no barriers between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that is the day where the person is the priest. Of course, Pesach is Manchei Ruseinu. Of Elamayisim, we're still within the world of tanugim. On Yom Kippur, we remove ourselves from any worldly pleasures, and that is when we recognize that we don't have to own anything. We don't have to have any ownership over other people. What's the purpose of ruling over other people? Because they serve us and they give into our tanugim. But on Yom Kippur, when we're free from the tanugim of the Sahara, and we realize that we don't need all of those things, that is after the time to free Avodim, not to have people serve us for our own personal interests. Those are Hagoyin Rav Yitzchok Bernstein. When you sell a sale to your friend, do not cheat. You have to have a fair transaction. Don't up the price too much. Don't lower the price too much. Everything, he shouldn't pay too little. Everybody has to do it in a fair way. I'll tell you, this is the Yisr of Aynah by Mechira. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Nedarim, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Nun, says that Rabbi Akiva became wealthy in six different ways. Rabbi Akiva B'Sof Yomo was a tremendous Aisha. One of the riches was from, you know, Kalba Savua. At the end, he saw the godless of his son-in-law, so he wrote over all of his riches to him. But there's one of the six ways that the Gemara mentions over there was a Maisa Shaya. The Rabbi Akiva went over to a group of sailors that were setting to go overseas to bring back merchandise. And he gave them four zuzim. Go bring me back something. They couldn't find anything but this box, this old box that mamish looked like it wasn't really worth anything. And they gave it to him. And so he takes the box and he opens it up and he sees inside the box, hidden inside the box, there's a vast treasure. And he became rich from it. So the Ein Yankiv asks a question, L'chaira, it wasn't a fair deal. Because obviously the sailors did not realize that in this box was a hidden treasure. So L'chaira of Yankiv should have given it back. He's over on Al-Sainu Ish Esamisai. Why didn't he return it? And why didn't he allow himself to become rich from this? As I affect the Ein Yankiv. So I saw a terrace brought down, a Meridiki terrace. There's a big shayla brought down in Masechtas Bava Metziah. In the Mordechai, he speaks about it. In the Hagoyis Ashvi, speaks about it. Maisa Shehoya Kachoya. There was a fellow, Reuven, bought a big block of wax off of a person. He brings it to his house, and he starts taking off some of the layers of wax, and he sees that it wasn't a block of wax at all. There was this big block of silver in the middle, and there was just an outer coating of wax. Mamish, a fine Nitzchayach, he's beside himself with joy. Meanwhile, the original guy who bought this off of a guy, he hears about this, he comes and he says, hey, it's a Mekkah toys. You know, how are you talking? You know, I didn't realize that there was silver over there. I never would have sold it to you for so cheap. This guy times now I bought it. So they brought their Shiloh to the Baal Abi Ezri, who was one of the Rishayim, and he paskin that Reuven does not have any tefillah whatsoever, and it totally belongs to Shimon. And what was his reasoning? Because when Reuven originally bought it from a guy, he had no idea that there was silver inside. So when he made his kinyan, he bought a block of wax. He didn't buy a thing of silver. And when he sold it, he had no idea that there was silver inside. Hashalof, he says, as far as he's concerned, he never owned the silver. To own something, you have to realize that you're being kainit. You have to realize that you own it. But if you don't realize that you bought it lechatchila, it does not belong to you, and the mele belongs to Shem. So based on that, they answer this question with Rabbi Akiva. If those sailors would have realized lechatchila that there was a treasure inside, and they would have owned it, and Rabbi Akiva paid them a few zuzim for this massive treasure, then Enoch and Ami would have been a Mekach Toys. But they themselves had no idea what was in this old, you know, worn-out box. So since they never realized that they were acquiring it, it never belonged to them, and there was no Inyan of Enoch. So I once heard from Rav Ruderman Zatzal that he said that from this Avi Ezri, from this Psak Halacha, you see, that you can own something, but if you don't realize that you own it, you're not considered an owner. And that's the Inyan that we find that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Bonim Lamakim. Klal Yisrael is cherished, they're dear, they're considered Bonim Lamakim. Now, Chiba Yisrael Noida Aslahem. This Chiba was made well known to them. Why? Shemitulam Klechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the precious vessels of the Torah. In other words, if we don't realize that we're precious, we're not precious. If you don't realize you possess a certain attribute, then you don't possess it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka had to tell us, you're chaviv to me, v'haraya, I'm giving you the Torah. There's a similar Gemara in Masechtas Beya. The Gemara says in Masechtas Beya, Davto Zayin, Tazayin Amit Aleph, Lodaz Ke'ani Hashem B'Kadoshchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I'm giving you a Matana Toiv. I have a Matana Toiv in my treasure house. Its name is Shabbos. I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Go and notify them that I'm giving them this. And from there, Chazal learned out, HaNais Matana L'Chaveiroi, Torach Lehidiyoi. You have to notify a person if you're giving him a Matana, because if you give it to him without notifying him about how precious it is, he doesn't own it. And that's something that we have to realize right before Kabbalah HaTorah, we're coming to Shavuos. We have to realize what we have, and we have to realize that these are the klechemda of the world, and we have to realize that we control the world through the Torah. You know, in the world that looks like the president of Russia and the president of the United States and the United Nations, they're the big controllers of the world. So Hetzach Nishtan. Klal Yisrael that keeps the Torah, they are the ones that control the world. Those are the klechemda of the world. But we have to realize it. Agav, regarding this psak that came about with the silver, a number of years ago there was a similar shiloh that came up in Eretz Yisrael. There was a fellow that dealt with Svarim, and he was at a Svarim fair. And they were selling old Svarim. So he picks up his sefer and he opens it up, and he sees that one of the, he's blethering through the Gemaras, and he sees that one of the pages has the signature of the Chidah, Chaim Yosef David Azulai. So he closes the Gemara, he goes over to the dealer, he says, what do you want for this? And he charged him some regular amount, nothing out of the ordinary. And this guy jumped at it for him. This is a gewaltig find, you know, and he was a farm merchant himself, you know, and it became known to the original owner that this Gemara that he sold had in it the signature of the Chidah, and it was worth a tremendous amount. So he took this guy to a dentayer, it's a mekach tois, and the other guy tied it. What do you mean? You didn't even realize that there was a signature there in Mele. You know, it's like you never owned it. So they went to the Beis Din, and Shmuel was in the paskin that it's a mekach tois, it goes back to the original owner. Unlike this halacha of the Avi Ezri. Why is that? His reasoning was that in the case of the Avi Ezri, the person that originally bought it bought a block of wax. He did not buy silver. Mamele, he never owned that silver. But over here, the original owner owned the Gemara. It happens to be that he owned the Gemara. He didn't realize how expensive the Gemara really was because of the signature. But the Metzius of the Gemara, he was an owner on. Mamele, he has a right to be Mavatel the Mekach because it was a Mekach Tais. You know, so it wasn't really done. Avi Ezri's halacha is brought down in the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch. But Wozner said that this case is taken out daima to that. But the key lesson for us is that we have to realize what we have, and then we're kind of the Torah if we realize what we have. Ki yoivu hi kodesh ti elachem toshuvu isha lachuzasei. Now the Torah asks us from plowing or planting during Yovel. So that the field has to go back to its original owner, that we see clearly Chazal say, and the Pasuk really says it, V'ha'oretz lo'isimacher l'tzmisus, you cannot sell karka in Eretz Yisrael forever. Why? Ki li kol ha'oretz. The earth belongs to me, you just have it, it's a rental by you. But the land be'etzem belongs to me, you cannot sell it for good. And that's why Yovel goes back to its original owner. But the question is, why are you not allowed to plant and plow in Yovel? Like, why is that usher? So the Meshech Chochmah says a very nice pshat. The Meshech Chochmah says, the Torah goes into the heart of a person. The Torah realizes it's hard for a person to part with karka. He had this karka, he worked on the karka, Imamish made it good, and he benefited from it. And now all of a sudden, to let it go back to its original owner, it's difficult for a person to part with the karka. So that's why the Torah, it told me, not allowed to plant or plow on that 50th year. If he would plant and plow on that 50th year, again, he put work into it, and it's hard for him to part with it. So the Torah wants to make a disconnect between him and the karka. That before he has to give back the karka to its original owner, don't plant, don't plow, don't build up your relationship on that 50th day, that 50th year, and the mail, you'll give it back. It'll be a lot easier for you to give it back if you don't put work into it. So yar the Torah was safe, daita shalodam. This is the nature of man. The more you work on something, the more you get attached to it. If that year you stay away from it, it'll be a lot easier for you to give it back. Parshas Bechukosei, it says in Bechukosei Teleichu, if you follow in my decrees, my chukim, Ve'es Mitzvosei Tishmeru, and you observe my commandments, Vasisa my son. Zok Rashi. What does it mean in Bechukosei Teleichu, the famous Rashi? If in Bechukosei Teleichu means to be Mekayim the mitzvahs, it says right after, Ve'es Mitzvosei Tishmeru. You can observe the mitzvahs. So what's in Bechukosei Teleichu? Shetihiyu amelim b'tayru. You should be amel in tayru. You should toil in tayru. So Hagaon Rav Chaim Friedlander asks a question. Why did Chazal say in tihiyu amelim b'tayru? Until medu tayru. If you learn tayru, you'll acquire knowledge, there'll be limudat tayru. How did Chazal know that in Bechukosei Teleichu means shetihiyu amelim b'tayru? Maybe it just means limudat Torah. Ves mitzvosei tishmeru means to keep the mitzvahs. Sim b'chukosei teleichu means to learn the Torah. But where did Chazal take from in b'chukosei teleichu that that the Indian is Amelus Batayra. So Zakhim Chaim Friedlander, usually if you're going somewhere, you're going to a chasana. So the traveling there is not really of importance. The ikkar is the chasana itself, where you're celebrating. And the going there is just a means to get to the chasana. The going there has no significance. You're going shopping. We have an appointment by the doctor. So it's the appointment that has the significance, but the going there is just a means of getting there. That doesn't really have any importance. If the Torah says over here, in Bechukosek Teilechu, the Torah puts the stress on the halicha, Shema Amino, that the way of getting there is what's important, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the toiling in the Torah. The limud means the accomplishment, the learning, the acquiring the knowledge. But if the Torah says in Bechukosek Teilechu, you should walk to the Torah, you should go to the Torah. What is that referring to? That's referring to the Amelus Bat Torah. In Torah, Amelus is not just a means of acquiring the ideas, of acquiring the knowledge. In Torah, the Amelus is an end in and of itself. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives schar for that. And really, Be'ikr, that's really what builds that deep connection with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Yodua, what the Chofetz Chaim says. It says in the Tefillah of Nechunya ben Akana, Sha'anu Amelim, Behem Amelim. We are Amelim in Torah, and they're Amelim, the Goyim are Amelim, and they're in Yonim. Anu Amelim u'mekavlim schar, Behem Amelim, ve'enu mekavlim schar. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Behem Amelim, ve'enu mekavlim schar. You see, it's not like that. They work hard and they make money on the deal. How can we say, Behem Amelim, ve'enu mekavlim schar? So the Chofetz Chaim, I have a pair of shoes to fix. And so there's this elderly shoemaker in the neighborhood, he doesn't do it in such quick time. I go to the more modern shoemaker in the neighborhood, he has all kinds of equipment, I'll get it done quickly. Rachmanis, give this elderly gentleman some parnosis, I bring it to him. Usually it takes a few days to have a pair of shoes done. So after a few days, I call him up, are my shoes ready? I'm still working on it, you know, he's working on it. A week later, I call him, are my shoes ready? I'm still working on it. After about 4 weeks, the pair of shoes is finally finished. So I go over to the shoemaker and I say, no, I have my pair of shoes. Yeah, here it is. How much will that be? That'll be $400. $400? It's ridiculous. I go to the other place, they charge me $10 for a pair of shoes, for fixing a pair of shoes. How can you charge me $400? So he says, there's a big difference. That fellow does it quickly. He has all the machinery. He does it in a couple of days. By me, it took 4 weeks. So he says, I didn't pay you to put the time into my pair of shoes. I didn't pay you for the amount of work. I paid you to get the results. I wanted a pair of shoes done. And I could have gotten it there for $10. You're charging me $400. So the Chofetz Chaim, that's the pshat. In the Goyish world, they don't pay for the amelus. They pay for the results. If you have to work hard on something, you don't get more schar for the extra work. You get schar for the results. And if you put a lot of work into it and you don't get results, you're not going to get paid. You get fired. In Torah, a person could be harving over one or two lines of Gemara. And even after the haravani, after working hard over it for who knows how long, he still doesn't get it klar. Afal pikein, he gets schar for the amelus. Because the amelus is a mean, it's an end in and of itself. That's how Chazal knew in Bechukosei Teilechu. The Torah is putting the stress on the halicha, on the way to get there. That's the amelus. Of course the Torah wants you to be kind of ideas. But here the Torah says in Bechukosei Teilechu, they put the stress on the halicha, on the way there, on the way to get to the ideas, to the Torah. Pasuk says, this is back again in Bahar. The chiyamach achicha, if your friend will become impoverished, umoto yode imach, and his means falter, and he's with you. Vavzaktaba, you should strengthen him. Ger v'soisho v'chayimach. Whether he's a resident, whether he's a ger, help him, he can be able to live with you. So Moshe, under Moshe Sternberg Shlita, he asks a question, why is this parasha of helping out a poor yid? Why is it mentioned right after the parsha of Shemitah and Yovolus? What's the connection between the two? So he says a very nice pshat. He says Shemitah and Yovolus is supposed to teach us Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You leave your field empty for a full year, you trust that Hashem is going to take care of you. Yovel, 2 years in a row, The seventh Shemitah, plus a year of Yovel, 2 years in a row, you leave the karka empty, and you're Beiteach B'Hashem, Hashem is going to help me. So the Torah is telling us over here, you could be a Beiteach B'Hashem when it comes to you yourself, but don't transfer over that B'Tochen when it comes to your friend. When it comes to somebody else's need, then you shouldn't have B'Tochen. Then you have to go out of your way. Some people, you know, when it comes to somebody else, they say, don't worry, Yaakov's Baruch is going to help you. There's a Bayre Yalim on the world, a Vinu Shabbat Shemayim. His mom is going to help you. Torah tells us over here, even though by Shemitah and Yovel, there's an Inyan, I want you to build yourself up. But when it comes to your friend, don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to help him yourself. So don't confuse the values over here. B'tochen is good when it comes to yourself, not when it comes to somebody else. Rishon Shvadron used to always say over a Maisa. He said one time, there was a neighbor's child that was playing right by his house. He slipped and hit his head against the step, and obviously a big gash, and his head started bleeding. Parents weren't around, so Shalom right away with his rebbets, and they pick up the kid, and they carry him to the doctor, and he's bleeding. So from afar, you know, this child's grandmother, she didn't see who the child was, and she sees Rav Shalom carrying a child. She thought it was his child. She said, Rav Shalom, Zog Zechnis, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, the kid will be okay. And then all of a sudden she comes closer, she sees who it is. Oh, Yassel, help me! You know, when it's my Yassel, you know, then that's when people all of a sudden lose their b'tachon by somebody else. You know, they're going to the elephant. The Torah is telling us over here, when it comes to your karka, by your shmita and your yovel, then you can have b'tochen on Hashem. But don't have b'tochen on somebody else's plate. It's that other person you have to help. A guten Shabbos, everybody.